Hey, welcome back to Well, That's Interesting. Okay, you're going to need to tell me more about this edition today. Today is episode 144, when scientists scanned the brains of three zombies. Yeah, and a fire that's been burning for 6,000 years. My friends, if any of what I just said sounded epic to you, you're absolutely fucking right. Today is a day to expect the unexpected. A journey will be had that may include black magic, possibly. A faked death gone wrong, possibly. And an attempted murder, possibly. And that's just the first half of the show. My friends, we're actually going to talk about an actual study that took place in the roaring 1990s. And just like the title of today's show suggests, the researchers in this case had supposedly three zombies on their hands. Yeah. And we're going to travel back in time and relive the tale of when scientists had to unravel a medical mystery. And the answer as to why these people were labeled zombies is way more dark and disturbing than any fungus, if you will. Then after the break, fire. A lot of it. And it's ancient. It's an ancient fire that no one knows. No one knows how it started. No one knows how long it's going to last. And nor does anyone know the actual size of this smoldering blaze. And I know that sounds crazy. And I told you a lot and very little at the same time. I'm just going to have to leave you hanging until after the break, when all will be revealed. All I could say right now is that, yes, this fire is on Earth, or rather, in Earth, just below our feet. And believe it or not, humans aren't to blame here. I know. I know, it's a relief. Oh, and by the way, I'm Jill Chacha, and if this is your first time listening, welcome to the flock, my curious business goose. I shall leave you in suspense no more, because we're about to fucking begin. And to do so, I need you to charge up your favorite time machine, slap on some SPF 30, and cut your bangs, because we're heading on over to the year 1997 and the Caribbean country of Haiti. Now, there are literally 3 million podcasts out there in the world. Give it a Google. It's fucking crazy. There's 3 million podcasts. So I'm pretty goddamn certain at least one of them focuses on the enormous and rich history of voodoo and its practices, beliefs, its terminology, all of it. I certainly cannot do it justice in one episode, but for context, and for those not familiar with this religion, here are just a few quick but staggering and amazing facts. Voodoo was created by Afro-Haitian communities during the 300-year Atlantic slave trade from the 16th to 19th centuries. And its structure is a blend of the traditional religions of those enslaved West and Central Africans, including the Yoruba, Fon, and Congo, who had been brought to the island of Hispaniola. It was here, when the budding voodoo absorbed influences from French colonists who controlled the colony of Santo Domingo. And those influences belonged to Roman Catholicism, but it also included the pageantry of Freemasonry. And get this, many voodooists were involved in the Haitian Revolution of 1791 to 1801, which, one, overthrew the French colonists, two, abolished slavery, and three, transformed Santo Domingo into today's Republic of Haiti. Not bad. And there's also a little thing called zombies. And I'm sure you have a few questions about this too. Oh, I'm glad you're here. I can help just a little bit. Quote, according to Haitian voodoo beliefs, the spirits of the dead can sometimes be captured by sorcerers called bokars, who can then use those souls to reanimate fresh corpses into zombies. Often spotted wandering the backwaters of rural Haiti, these undead sleepwalkers are regularly reported to local authorities. End quote. That was from Ben Taub of IFL Science. Well, you know what? I bet you have even more questions now. Like, holy shit, how many reports are we talking about here? Like, this is happening today. And yeah, my friends, hold on to your loved ones because, quote, zombies are frequently recognized by the local population, and estimates of their reports are of the order of up to 1,000 new cases per year. End quote. I'm going to fucking say that again. 1,000 cases a year. Now, that quote was from a spectacular 1997 case study called Clinical Findings in Three Cases of Zombification. And holy shit, we've made it. Let's get into it. Let's start with the, I'm going to call it the uneventful one. I know, you're like, why start with the most uneventful one? But trust me, you're going to want to hear these stories in this order. So it's going to be worth it. Now, on one fine day, out of the blue, a 31-year-old woman was spotted by locals and a bit of panic spread. For you see, she had died 13 years ago. Now, needless to say, word spread quickly that she was back after a dozen plus years in the ground. The hysteria, if you will, was so much so it prompted authorities to intervene. And because the public was so certain this woman had died, and the woman was so certain she wasn't dead, the issue could only be resolved with an electroencephalograph and DNA test. Now, what the fuck is an electroencephalograph? Don't worry, you totally already know what this is. It's an EEG. It's that shower cap thingy full of, like, electrodes that fits on your scalp. You see it right now. That's exactly what it is. Now, luckily, this poor woman's fight to prove she wasn't a zombie was won. When the results came back, she was totally human, alive, and her brain was totally normal, not dead, but very much pissed. That's the first case. Our second case, however, is way fucking worse, a smidgen worse, and it involves a 26-year-old man who inexplicably just showed up to a cockfight 19 months after his burial. Now, equal parts confusion ensued, but this time, when the man agreed to an EEG and DNA test, drumroll please, this too was a case of mistaken identity, but thanks to the EEG, this man was diagnosed with epilepsy. Now, this was discovered, but that's only one discovery. It doesn't stop there. For the bereaved family, they received news that this 26-year-old man was not their relative. But upon further investigating and questioning the young man, it was found that his uncle had been keeping him chained to a log at his parents' house. Now, I know, he was saved, and the uncle was arrested and charged for the abuse, which I guess is a happy ending to a chaotic, fucking weird situation, I suppose. But what I do know for sure, though, is that this last case, the third case, holy shit, I don't think we're going to find any happy endings here, so you're just going to have to brace yourself. My friends, join me, will you, along the countryside of Haiti, where a 30-year-old woman, presumed very dead, was spotted 3 years after her funeral. Now, she was recognized and positively identified thanks to her very distinctive facial feature. I'm going to say that again. Yes, this was a positive identification. This air quotes dead woman was totally fucking reunited with her family. But she was very, very different from how they remembered her. As the study explained, she, quote, kept her head low in a lowered position and walked extremely slowly and stiffly, barely moving her arms. She was also unable to communicate, but would occasionally murmur some incomprehensible but stereotyped words. End quote. Whoa. Now, this is weird, and curiously enough, the results of her EEG and tests on her central nervous system revealed nothing. There were no physical abnormalities. Doctors could only come up with a diagnosis of catatonic schizophrenia. Now, what the fuck is that? My friends, it's a rare, severe mental disorder. And people with this condition can find themselves in a rigid stupor that lasts for hours and even days. Parts of their body may perform strange, erratic, or extreme movements. They repeat words or can stay in uncomfortable positions without shifting for like lengthy periods of fucking time. Now, this all checks the boxes for what she's experiencing, but my friends, people with catatonic schizophrenia don't come back from the dead. Needless to say, authorities launched an investigation into this curious fucking case, and a court order to unearth the woman's grave was obtained. Now, after digging it up and cracking it open, drumroll please. Thank you. They found rocks. You heard me. The coffin was filled with rocks. So what the fuck is going on here, you may be asking. Great question. Now, thanks to the woman's extreme impairment, we may never know for sure how she got out of her gravesite and filled it. Now, some locals, though, believe the following. Quote, the woman might not have died at all, but may have instead been poisoned with a neuromuscular toxin, possibly administered by a bokor, in order to induce catalepsy and trick relatives into thinking she was dead. The guilty sorcerer could then have retrieved the body shortly after, before the woman regained consciousness, while a lack of oxygen within the grave may have resulted in brain damage, thus explaining her zombie-like state. End quote. From IFL Science. Now, that's super fucked up, for sure, if it's true. Maybe she faked her death, and whomever she coordinated with to retrieve her from the coffin was too late. Yeah. Either way, be it a neuromuscular toxin, black magic, a fake death, it's fucking bizarre. And it is a mystery to this day. I think the only way to cleanse ourselves here is with fire. After the break, we're heading to the land down under, where a fire has been quietly burning for thousands of years. And we're going to stick our hand in it. We're going to do it. Please, stay tuned.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, Jill Chacha here from Well That's Interesting, and I am absolutely thrilled to tell you about Spotify for Podcasters. I use it, I love it, and it all started by downloading the free Spotify for Podcasters app, which has all the tools you need in one place to record and edit your masterpiece of a podcast. Spotify for Podcasters also distributes your show to all major platforms, so when you hit publish, your episodes will stream not only on Spotify, but I'm talking about the Apples, the Googles, Stitcher, Good Pods, the other ones. You get the idea. And you can monetize your podcast with no minimum listenership required. You could also set up monthly subscriptions and record ads just like this one. So what are you waiting for? Download Spotify for Podcasters today and start changing the world. Oh, and please, stay interesting.
20th Century Studios presents Vacation Friends 2, now streaming only on Hulu.
Look at us, all together again.
We just wanted to give you guys a real honeymoon.
Shots!
Now streaming.
Dad! He was just released from jail.
Where can I get a drink around here?
Back on vacation.
This place is nice. It's drug lord nice.
I'm sorry, drug lord nice?
With more baggage.
Ever since he showed up, he turned this relaxing vacation into total chaos. Does that.
Vacation Friends 2, rated R, now streaming only on Hulu.
And we're back. We are so back. And my friends, you're going to need another layer of SPF 30 because we're heading on over to a glorious and aptly named national park called Burning Mountain Nature Reserve. Now, for my fellow geographically challenged Americans, where is this magical place exactly? Don't you worry, I've got you. Please, everyone, imagine Australia. Where fucking else? Now, please, point to the southeast corner. That is New South Wales, hello. And right in the middle of its coastline is Sydney. Now, we're going to road trip our cute faces north for 4 hours, so I hope you have a good playlist. And when we're done jamming, we've made it to our destination, a mysterious smoldering blaze that's the oldest known fire on the planet. And we're going to get into it. Well, not literally, of course, but we're going to get pretty goddamn close. So please head on over to our social media stuffs and check out this episode's post. I'm going to give you a hot second. Awesome. Now, please swipe through and you shall see nothing. Nothing, kind of. I know, but don't you fucking stop this episode. I saw you there. Trust me. You're going to want to hear this story because this fire isn't a traditional fire, if you will. And that void you're looking at, it's kind of important. Okay, my friends, underneath our feet and underneath Mount Wingan is what's called a coal seam fire. And this fire has been smoldering for so long. It was the indigenous Wanaruha people that gave the place its name. Wingan simply translates to fire. And according to ScienceAlert.com, once ignited, these subterranean fires are almost impossible to put out. Slowly but intensely, they travel through the coal seam, which is basically just a layer of coal that naturally occurs beneath Earth's surface. And in terms of this fire's size, it's anyone's fucking guess. Quote, no one knows the size of the fire under Burning Mountain. You can only infer it. End quote. Guillermo Rain, a professor of fire science. How the fuck do you get that job legally? A professor of fire science at Imperial College London in the UK, Guillermo told Science Alert. They went on to say, it's likely a ball of around 5 to 10 meters or 16 to 33 feet in diameter, reaching temperatures of 1,000 degrees Celsius or 1,832 degrees Fahrenheit, end quote. That's fucking hot and that's fucking big. Y'all, a 33-foot diameter ball of fire? That's like, it doesn't have a flame. It's like more like embers in a barbecue. And so if you could just imagine a gigantic barbecue pit. I want you to imagine that, but I also want you to imagine it moving. Yeah, this ball is traveling. Now, Wingan is about 100 feet underground, and it's moving south at about a meter or 3 feet a year. Now, if you would, my equally hot business goose, goddamn, please take a closer look at the photos on our social media stuffs, okay? Give it a squint, you shall see that the only evidence of this great ball of fire, any evidence of it above ground, is basically just smoke in the air. There's white ash on the ground. People even report that the ground is warm to the touch. I mean, at 1800 fucking degrees Fahrenheit, yeah, that's hot. If you could tell, just take a look at the discolored rocks. They're kind of fucking gorgeous. There are shades of like yellow and rouge. I'm taking a look right now. There's some peach in there. And equally lovely, they say that the scent of sulfur is in the air, and that's emitted as the fire actually cooks the minerals inside this mountain. Now, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. What you don't see, in stark contrast to the surrounding reserve, are plants. There are no trees. No flowers. The radiating heat from below scorches any life above in its path. But that's not bad. Quote, ahead of the fire where it hasn't arrived yet, you see this beautiful eucalyptus forest. Where the fire is now, there's absolutely nothing alive, not even grass, says Rain. And where the fire was 20 to 30 years ago, the forest has come back, but it's a completely different forest. The fire has shaped the landscape. End quote. So, my friends, that's pretty fucking cool. Just like with wildfires above ground, this one's totally reshaping and regrowing the forest from underneath. So, you might be wondering, okay, cool. That's kind of cool. But how the fuck did this start? And how old is this thing really? And are there others like it? Is this like really unique? That's all great fucking questions, my friends. Let's start at the top. Who started it? Well, probably not us humans. In fact, the fire was probably around before the Wanarua people actually discovered it. And they put it to use. They used it for cooking and crafting tools. In terms of how it started, for them, they actually created a few origin stories for it. One is about a widow whose mournful tears ignited the fire, and another is about a, quote, tribesman who was lighting a fire on the mountainside when he was carried off deep into the earth by the evil one. Unable to escape, he used his fire stick to set the mountain alight so that the smoke might warn others to keep away. End quote. And that is from our friend, the Wikipedia. Now, this explanation is way more poetic than the first white guy to see Wingen back in ye old 1828. A local farmhand lost his shit and ran through the town claiming he discovered a volcano. A year later, in 1829, a geologist and reverend, because 1800s, this geologist and reverend named C.P.N. Wilton did a little digging and concluded, nay, the alleged volcano was actually a coal seam fire. And get this, my friends, measurements since that year of 1829 have shown that the entire path of this fire has covered around 6.5 kilometers, or 4 miles. Damn. Now, we said Wingen moves at a rate of like a meter a year, which means if you do the calculations clickety-fucking-clack, this blaze has been going for 6,000 years. So, that's a minimum of 6,000 years. So, who done it? Probably nature. Rain told Science Alert, the guy who starts fires probably, quote, it could have been a wildfire from a lightning strike that ignited an outcrop, or it could have been self-heating ignition. End quote. Holy fuck. Well, what is that? We have to talk about this for a minute. Are we talking about spontaneous combustion? Kinda. I know. Let's have fun. Science Alert has a great explanation of how this shit happens. Okay, prepare yourself. Quote, self-heating ignition occurs when the coal seam is close enough to the surface for coal to be exposed to oxygen. Now, if there are enough sunny and hot days in a row, something we'll see more of with climate change, the surface of the coal heats up and gets hot enough to heat up the next piece in the seam, eventually sparking ignition. End quote. So, it's spontaneous and domino-y, and my friends, the temperature doesn't need to be that batshit crazy high. The self-heating point for coal can range from just 35 to 140 degrees Celsius, or 95 to 284 degrees Fahrenheit. So 95 degrees, not that fucking high. So, with the Earth heating up, along with the placement of this fire, it will continue to be fueled. But for how long? Drumroll, please. Thank you. A long fucking time. We're talking thousands of years. Quote, it could burn for thousands of years without human intervention, said Rain. As the fire progresses, it heats up the mountain, causing it to expand and crack, letting in oxygen, so the fire can then move forward. The fire produces its own chimney and supplies its own oxygen. End quote. So, there you have it. So much is known, yet unknown, about ancient Wingen, or Wingen, my apologies. Its age certainly, thank you, neighbor's dog, its age certainly makes it a unique natural wonder. But it's not alone. It's certainly not alone, my friends. That's right. The dog is shocked. I'm shocked. Underground fires I'm leaving it in. It's totally a thing. From globalforestwatch.org. This is just how the world is, man. There are underground fires and your neighbor's dog will just bark at anything. Quote, at any given moment, there are hundreds of coal seam fires burning anywhere. Large coal deposits exist from Pennsylvania to China to Germany. Due to their virtually endless supply of fuel and oxygen, many coal seam fires are expected to keep burning well into the next century. Most coal seam fires are ignited by, you guessed it, human activity, usually in the process of coal mining or waste removal. For example, the town of Centralia, Pennsylvania, has been on fire for more than half a century due to activities outside the local coal mine that caused the seam to combust. I should not laugh at that. The origins of older coal seam fires, however, are not as clear. End quote. Round of applause to Centralia, Pennsylvania. As you can imagine, these whoopsie daisies are extremely dangerous for people and the environment. A coal seam fire, for example, back in Colorado in 2002, plowed through almost 12,000 fucking acres of land and destroyed 29 homes. They also release a shit ton of gases, including mercury, methane, carbon monoxide, and carbon dioxide, which is not the best sandwich to bite into. Now, as for those natural wonders, my friends, enjoy them from afar and treat them with respect. And, that's all I've got. It's a 6,000-year-old fucking fire, and that's what we're ending on. We're going to end on a positive note that it was just there. So thank you for listening, rating, subscribing, telling your friends about these three people in Haiti, where one of them was, just not good. Just not a good story. And that things just sometimes spontaneously combust. Yeah. What are you going to do? And please, stay interesting.